for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Friday morning, December the 27th, 2002. Midwinter Family Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Bishop Charles Carter of Greater Grace Ministries, Hot Springs, Arkansas, is the minister of the morning. Brother and Sister Carter have Greater Works Ministry and homeless shelter here in Hot Springs, and they have a wonderful ministry here for the Lord, and also a ministry of praise and worship and teaching. And Brother Carter's been ministering here for, a couple of years, off and on, whenever I can get him out here. But he's very faithful, though, to come out here and pray almost every day. Maybe sometime 2 or 3 hours, you'll find him up here somewhere praying. And I appreciate that very much, because we need more and more of that. And they're very faithful. Well, Brother Carter, come minister to us this morning. Amen, amen. Amen, amen.
Hallelujah. 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 Father, we thank you. We ask that you, Father, we surrender full reign to you. Lead, guide, and direct. Use the vessels, Father, as you see fit. Have thine own way. It's not our will, but your will that we need to see it be done. It's your might and power that we're to see in the sanctuary. It's your spirit that needs to have full reign. And we pray that the word of God would have free course around the world. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't make it every day. I do in spirit. And I thank God for that. I don't know very many people that can say they do something in spirit. They say it, but it's not real. So if I said that up here and it's not real, we're in trouble. When I say that I'm here in spirit, it means that I have a conviction when I'm not here. There's a conviction if I don't show up, because it's a divine command. It's a personal command, the command that God gave me personally to come here. And so I'm sure that I can be overzealous, because he didn't say how many days to come a week. But because he spoke it, because he gave me that as a command to my personal life, then I'm always conscious of when I'm not here, I'm conscious of not being here. The conviction. So to Brother Glenn, I'm here every day. Amen. We need the Spirit of God to just have his way so much that God can say. Amen. Jesus. We want to just allow God to have his way and let him flow, and we want to just break the back of the enemy. I've heard people say things like, you know, anything that's broken can be fixed. But I've owned a whole lot of things that couldn't be fixed after it was broken. So I think we have to somewhat retract that statement. We say things out of prayerlessness. Amen. And we repeat things that others say. But we want to break the back of the devil. We want to deal with deliverance in an area that we are not so surrendered to. I enjoy hard places. I really do. I enjoy hard places. God is a God of order. You hear that? That's a hard word. He's a God of order. You ever seen people that could submit to God's divine authority but can't submit to his delegated? See, deliverance comes through submission to truth. And truth is not limited to Jesus speaking to us divinely. Truth is not limited to us, to Jesus speaking to us through his scripture. Truth is not limited only through Jesus speaking through his servants, even by rank, from bishop to lay people, servants, regardless of, it's not about a title, just dealing with the different aspects of his order. He has words that he chose to use scripturally. We reverence the word, and when we use certain words, we choose to not reverence, but it's still his word. How can we do such a thing? To reverence, praise or worship or bowing down or getting on your knees to pray, and we reverence those actions. We reverence postures. We reverence things a certain street. You ever seen that? You've seen that in the body of Christ. We reverence what we want to. And even in God's word, there are things that he has chosen, words that he has chosen to use. And we don't reverence those words. We extract them. I shared with my wife one day. I said, I find that funny, as old as I am or as young as I am, whichever, how that I can see that a person who is addressed as a prophet is ridiculed and criticized, and a person who is addressed as a pastor on the same line, Ephesians 4, is received and accepted. We can use the word pastor, but we can't use the word, come on now, but we can't use the word prophet. See, that's flesh that extracted, that has, oh, you're not. Or apostle. Uh-huh. It's too the carnal mind. It seems to be a place of reverence, a place of esteem, because it's a place of esteem. Now they all are. Even a layperson is a place of esteem. They're the body of Christ. There's no higher office than being a member of the body of Christ. We just begin to tag the different, like nose, eyes, ears, apostle, prophet, evangelist. We just begin to say and use the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, and teacher as a nose, an eye, an ear. But our terminology has put fear. We operate in a spirit of fear. And it's the word of God. I tell my wife, I enjoy watching people, trying to watch people get out of it. See, they learned not to say prophet so-and-so. Someone told them not to. They can't prove that in the text. It can't be proven in the text. As a matter of fact, the text proves, amen, that those wordings were used to identify specific functions in the body of Christ. And so we make up stuff. That's how we are. My wife and I have sat down and watched for years. And we believe that stuff. People can tell us anything, and we believe it. We sit down in a worship service, go through church, and we believe it. We believe it because we have this thing in us that we don't want anyone to be anything. We don't want anyone. It's true. You better not be anything. You better not be common because you're unclean. Oh, I know him. That's Jesus. Just Joseph's son. He's nobody. See, it still happens every day. Every day, all day long. And so we want to look at deliverance through divine order. To gather people together, to herd cattle together, you don't need a whole lot of order. Oh, but after you get them together, to keep them together, you're going to need some order. I'm sorry. I mean, I wish you could get out of it. I wish I could get out of it. At the time that I was gathered or brought into the fold as a sheep that was being herded into God's fold, when I came face to face with divine order, I wondered, but it wasn't so bad for myself because I was so beaten down. I was so humbled. I was afraid. Good fear. I had become afraid of God. I'm still trying to figure out why we dilute the word reverence. See, because when my mother was coming with the belt, I was afraid. It had nothing to do with respect for her. See, we've diluted that. And we've made people believe, see, that don't work for me. You can use reverence if you want to, and you don't have to be afraid of God if you want to, but I can't. I'm sorry. I'm just, you're going to have to show me how to fix it. I've very seldom seen people submit and surrender to God because they have reverence for Him. I have not seen it. But just because they want to respect Him. I've seen folk or people, human beings, surrender to God because the devil had to pull them up.
Amen.
And they found out that it was allowed by God. He didn't do it. He's not going to do any evil. But it was allowed by God. And so, yeah, you can reverence. I mean, I watch people say they reverence God all day and not cuss. Not curse, but cuss. Because curse and cussing are two different things. Well, cuss. I was sharing with my wife the other day, and matter of fact, this morning, I said, it's funny how the preacher tries to preach us out of works, out of submission to God. I'm in total agreement. I feel good right now. Just bear with me. I'm in total agreement that we will not and should not and better not work to be saved. Oh, but if you don't work to stay saved. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to take that one. Works got to follow. It's going to have to follow. If it doesn't, then why are we here? We're here to hear what to do. Not to become hearers of the word only, but to become doers of the word. Oh, boy. Shouldn't have asked me to come. No, really. Really, God visited me one day in my journey through the body of Christ. And I received, like everyone in here. I told my wife, I said, you know those fancy preachers with their fancy clothes that preach that you don't have to do nothing? Just one scripture says labor to enter into his. Oh, no. Don't say you got to work to rest. See, they kind of get me. And I told Sister Carter, Sister Patty, I said, well, since you don't have to do nothing, why they don't smoke? Why they don't drink? Tell them, since you don't have to do nothing, then let's go have a beer. If you still going to go to heaven. If you still going to walk in the blessing of God. Forget heaven. Let's drop heaven for a minute. Let's just deal with here.
All right.
If you're going to walk in the blessing of God, then let's not obey God, a doing word. Let's just don't obey, since it's all good and we don't have to do anything. We don't have to work at nothing. We don't have to work for anything. Not to be saved. But to stay saved, you're going to have to repent and be converted, or we shall all likewise perish.
Amen.
One passage of Scripture says, let he who converts a sinner from the error of his way, and he wasn't talking, at that point, he was not talking about a person who was outside of the kingdom. He was talking about a person who had fallen from grace. Amen? He said, if you convert a sinner from the error of his way, and he was talking about a person who was walking with the Lord, let him know that he had saved the soul from death. And I still ask my wife, and I still challenge any preacher, let's go on and drink and party then, since you don't have to do nothing. Well, they say we don't have to do anything. We got it free, and so I guess we're just going to have to leave the people the way they are. Oh, amen. Amen. That's like those nicotine spirits, huh? If you're saved for free, why you got to stop smoking? You heard, why do you have to stop? That's a doing. That is a doing word. Turn with me to Titus. I just wanted to share that with you because it's real. Sister, I better not be standing up here and not be a man of God, not have conviction of sin, conviction of error, conviction of fault, of flaw. I better not be. And there are those that do stand up here in podiums, not here, but just, you know, in the kingdom of God to minister and have no convictions. And the Holy Spirit convicts of what? Sin. I wonder why, if you don't have to do nothing. What's all the correction for if you don't have to do nothing? Amen? Titus chapter 1, verse 5. For this cause, and you have it, say amen. Paul's talking here. He says, Paul, in verse 1, Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect and the acknowledging of the truth, which is after godliness. Verse 5, for this cause, Paul tells Titus, for this cause left I thee in Crete. Assignment, that thou shouldest set in order the things that are wanting and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. No, he didn't tell Titus to do that. Yes, sir. Deliverance through divine order. He said, Titus, there's going to be some things or some situations or circumstances in people's lives that the only way that they'll be delivered is to be told what to do. They don't know what to do in this area. He says, so I left you here to set in order the things that are wanting or the things that are lacking. He begins to afterwards give qualifications for a bishop. Why give the qualifications if you don't have to do nothing? He says, I left you in Crete so that you can set in order the things that are wanting. So that particular responsibility was laid by God upon his ministers or his administrators. You see, he's got this. God's got this thing where he's building a church. He is. And so, how in the world that he would tell us? He says, "Guess what, guys, ladies and gentlemen." He says, "For my thoughts are higher than your thoughts, and my ways than your ways." And so, we in our infinite or finite selves, we have order in our companies, but God doesn't. And he says, my ways are higher than yours. He says, matter of fact, the order that you have is the order that I have, but I have it on a higher level. Mine's just divine. So you picked yours up from me in your companies and in your homes. Even in the home, there's order. You don't even have to go to church. You don't have to get saved. Unsaved men and women run their homes and their children without Christ. And we come to Christ and there's no order. There is not. No structure. I talked to a man the other day. He says, you know, they're going to start having worship. He says, but, you know, we're not going to have any set anything, and we're not going to set anything, and we're just going to come together. I said, okay, but it's not scriptural. It's not scriptural. It's not. There are some things that are lacking in our lives that we are only going to receive through the servants of God. Through the servants of God. Ephesians chapter 4, turn there quickly. You know, we want to be delivered or set free. And I'm for casting out devils and demons all day long. But when you get through casting the devils and demons out, they come right back in. Because there's no order. There's still sin. Matter of fact, can we just deal with that actual spirit? Huh? Anyone that does not want to surrender to the Word of God in every area of the Word of God is in pride. So they're still wrestling with that spirit. You can cast out nicotine if you want to. Did you get pride out? Amen? Did you get pride out? Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 10, Sister Carter, read.
He that descendeth is the same also that ascendeth up far above all heavens,
mm-hmm.
that he might fill all things.
Mm-hmm. Read on.
And he gave some apostles.
Uh-huh. Some to be apostles.
And some prophets.
Some to be prophets.
And some evangelists.
Yes.
And some pastors.
Yes.
And teachers.
Yes. Why?
For the perfecting of the saints.
No, 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 no. No, 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 no. No, he didn't. Now, it's not, no, perfection can't come from those guys. They're screwed up themselves. If God says perfection comes by that way, then it comes by that way. I remember when I was real young, I saw my pastor, and I was totally oblivious to this, and I saw him fuss at someone. And so immediately, I was raised Catholic, so I'd never seen anyone, any minister of any kind, fuss at anybody. So the first thing I thought that, well, he's not a man of God. And being as young as I was, God, he would grab a hold of me real quick. And he says, have you assessed why he manifested that way? I said, no, sir. No, Lord. He said, he manifested. He said, did you ever consider that he manifested that way because of you? I said, I hadn't thought about that, Lord. He said, yeah. He said, because you decided that you were going to take forever to get yourself together, to submit to me, is what I'm saying. He's got to wear your hat until you decide to get pride out of the way. And he's got to wear the lady sitting at the end down there. He's got to wear her hat. Now, watch this. Now, anyone that has that many jobs is going to become overwhelmed with stress. It's too many hats. He says, so, have you ever considered that it was your fault? As well as maybe 10 others? He says, he's wearing 10 hats. What do you expect? Even the world knows that you can't do that without becoming stressed out. The world ministers to their own, believe it or not, concerning stress in the workplace. Uh-oh. Because of overload or working too many hours or working with no vacations. And so if a minister manifests, we say it's his fault. And it is. He should have quit. Really. He should have just not did all this. What brings peace in my life is I just let it go. And I say no. See, the presence of God is more important than catering to people's wills. People's wills don't impress me. I get in trouble following people's wills. You know, I tell you, one will that I would submit to you in, sister, is if you ask me to go pray. You can ask me that all day long. But that's the one we don't submit to. We will not submit. And that's the one that keeps us stressless. Because in prayer we get to cast all of our cares upon him, all of our concerns on him. Always. And to tell you the truth, as I begin to meditate on this, this lady was on my mind in the green jacket. She was. I don't know anything about her except her name, and met a few times and, you know, heard her minister a few times. But because of her work, she was on my heart. Because whoever's in leadership still has a cry, a hidden tear, wondering where's their Joshua. Amen? Hasha. She was on my mind yesterday. Where's my Joshua? Everybody's following Jesus, but no one's obeying him. See, you can walk with someone and not obey them. You can come to church all the time and never obey. And Jesus was here on earth, and people walked with him and didn't obey. A rich young ruler was around him, and he didn't obey concerning selling all that he had. Judas was with him, and when he decided he wasn't going to obey, he did not obey. Just because you're hanging around someone doesn't mean you're submitted to them. Because you're hanging around the church doesn't mean you submitted to the church. And when I say the church, I mean Christ. The body of Christ. The church. The assembly of God. Amen? And so we see everyone casting out devils and demons. We see everyone having a desire to raise the dead, but we still see the joints disconnected. We haven't gotten to the place where we see something that we don't approve of, and even the scriptures don't approve of in an older person. And we're not temperate, so we run off and rebuke them. We must be temperate in all things. And so the scripture is what tempers us. And if the scripture says not to rebuke an older person, then shut up. It says to be temperate in all things. And yet while we run to bring correction or rebuke older people, we ourselves not rebuked. We haven't rebuked ourselves. We haven't taken the beam out of our own eye. We haven't laid aside the weight. I like that. Or the sin that so easily. You know what that means? That means that there are some things that are not a stronghold. Yes. That means that there are some things that are not a stronghold. The Bible says in actuality the only reason that it's deliverance camp, right? The only reason that we have strongholds is because we allow little foxes in. The scripture says it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. The larger things in our lives are allowed because of the small things, the compromises that we've allowed. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. If people bound by crack cocaine addiction or drug addiction, and it's only because they smoke cigarettes. I've seen people instantly delivered from crack cocaine addiction and wouldn't put the cigarettes down. And after a season, they were right back on the crack cocaine. And it wasn't the cigarettes that gave them, stay with me, it wasn't the cigarettes that made them crave it. It was the disobedience to the word of God that allowed that type of bondage back in. Yeah, the cigarettes didn't make them want crack cocaine or cocaine or a larger drug. The cigarettes didn't make them want. It was allowed. Says, okay, well, since you won't handle what you can, then I guess that you're going to have to be whipped. God says, since I don't do any evil, well, you've opened the door to that spirit. Your disobedience opens the doors to all of those spirits. I didn't do a thing. It's just you open the door and they're coming in. And a lot of people don't understand that. The little foxes lay aside the weights in the sense that's so easily. You do that one. You do that one. You surrender. You submit. He says, if any man come after me, let him deny himself. Yeah. Just simple teaching today. Just simple stuff that prayer brings out. Stuff that prayer and fasting brings up or brings out. Hallelujah. And prayer and fasting ought to bring repentance to the faster and to the prayer. It's a purifier. God says, He says, I've chosen you in the furnace of affliction, and so there are times that I pray, Lord, choose me where you said you would. And some people would be fearful of that because they say, well, I'm confessing something bad on myself that God's going to afflict me. No, God's not going to afflict. He says, you do that. In 2 Chronicles 7:14, he says, if my people which are called by my name would humble themselves. To humble means to afflict. Actually, if you really want to know another translation for the word humble and afflict, it actually also means to curse. Turn to Acts 23 and I'll show you how fasting means also to bring under a curse. Just divine. divine order, deliverance through God's divine order. Many blessings are held up. Many places that we're trying to step into are held up, and we're hindered from those places because of our unwillingness to humble ourselves or to submit. And if David said it this way, he said, he found out he had a problem, Pastor. He said he was prideful. And the Lord showed him how to deal with that spirit without someone coming to renounce it or cast it out. He says, I just humbled my soul. You see, the problem was with my mind, will, and emotion. I was exalted above the purpose and plan of God. And he says, I humbled my soul with fasting. He said, the problem was with me. And so I humbled my soul with fasting. It was with my mind, will, and emotions. And I had to fast. Are you in Acts 23? Okay, watch this. Verse 12, when you have it, say amen.
Amen.
This is about a conspiracy to kill Paul. I'm real mellow today, so bear with me. And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had received their desired result, till they had killed Paul. Affliction is bad, isn't it? That's what it is. In Isaiah 58, it says, is it such a fast that a man should afflict his soul? To be bad to his soul? To put his soul under attack himself? I'll finish reading this. And they were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, we have bound ourselves under a great curse. Fasting is a great curse. That we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Of course, that didn't happen. But they had bound themselves. They had made an oath to afflict, to do bad by not fulfilling the lust of their flesh until they had received the desired result. And so the majority of the time, we can't surrender to the purpose and plan of God or to God's divine order to go into the next level of our lives because of pride. 2 Chronicles 7:14 again says, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves and pray. He says, first I need you to afflict yourself. We pray first. Oh, I know it's Old Testament. But Jesus taught it, and Paul did it. He did. He did. Listen. A secret that God gave me. He said, whenever you're struggling with your ministry, suppose it's a praise and worship ministry, suppose it's a pastorate, shelter, whatever it might be, whatever your ministry is. He said, if you're not being responded to, it's because they're not supposed to respond to you.
All right.
He said, they're expecting to respond to me. He says, and if you don't get me on you, he says, if you don't get me on you, if you don't start praying, you don't have to push people. You have to lead them. You don't fuss at them to make them worship. You lead them. And if they're not following you while you're in worship and standing up, you don't push on them. You get God on you. You don't have enough of God on you. You don't have enough of God on you. That's why people get upset when they go to places and people fuss at them. The pastor fuss. And they just a fussing, and they just a fussing. Or they in the back room, and they crying and griping and complaining about the people don't do this, and the people don't do that. They don't have enough of get some more God on you. For it's not by might, nor by power, but by my. Once you teach them, and they know, if they're not responding, get some more of me on you. People respond to God. Just a nugget. People respond to God. If you ask them, they'll tell you, I follow Jesus. And they keep telling us who they follow, and we keep trying to make them follow us. And so if you're leading worship, stop fussing. If you're pastoring, stop fussing. Watch, I'll prove it to you. Turn to Acts chapter 6. So that the people can respond. Amen? They respond to God's presence. Acts chapter 6. Deliverance through divine order. Since I have a few minutes, listen. There ought to be if some of you could be in a senior leadership position for 1 month, you'll be on the phone calling this lady begging for prayer. Because everything that you do, once you're in that leadership position, you'll be trying to ask why are the people not doing this? Why are the people not doing that? But you got to remember, you were one of those people. So you really ought to know why. You heard why they're not doing this? Because there is a responsibility of the flock to the church and to the work of God and to the men and women of God who are in authority. And the church has this thing about not responding, but they want to be free. That's called rebellion. That's called being irresponsible. The fivefold ministry was given to us for our perfecting or our maturing. Until we come into the measure of the stature, that's just something, isn't it? How are we going to get there? Until we come into the measure of the stature of the fullness of, it doesn't seem like we're going there, of Christ. It says, and this is going to come by these ministries. Oh, sure, there's a divine ministry. Yes, I'm Jesus, Jesus says. Yes, I'm Jesus, and yes, I'm going to minister to you separately and in your private time. And yes, I'm going to pastor or shepherd you. Yes, I'm going to speak into your life and prophesy to you. I'm going to give you a word in your private seasons of your life. Yes, I'm going to do all of these things and operate in all of these offices. But I've also given men and women to work through that I desire to work through as well. Not limited. I'm not limited in the way that I move or in the way that I speak. You just have to have an ear, he says, to hear. One of the most powerful points that God ever gave me was, get down on your knees. Whether a lay person or minister, baby Christian, really doesn't matter. And if you don't know what to do, then you press in. You press in. You get into praise and worship and prayer. And you consecrate. You cut the carnality out. Cut the television off if you're dealing with carnality. And let me begin to lead, guide, and direct you. Let me begin to speak to you and tell you when to turn Christian television on and when not to. It says, and you continue to press into me until you receive your instructions or directions. He says, because I have, oh, this is good, because I do have a physical person and a physical body that I have assigned to you and you to them. Divinely, not a place that you pick for that cannot even be found in any of my texts. In Proverbs 3, he says, in all of your ways, acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. In all of your ways,
talking about your church home, the building, the place where you come together with the church. He says, in all of your ways, acknowledge me. You come to me and let me direct your path. And study on how I direct. Whether it's by vision in the night or when deep sleep falleth upon men or in slumberings in the bed. If I open up the ears of men and feel their instruction. Whether it be by prophet or prophetess, whether it be by prophetic teaching or just teaching, learn how I speak. Learn the earmarks of the Spirit on the spiritual post of life. Follow the markings on the Spirit. He says, I'll give you pastors after mine own heart. Now, he didn't mean that they would just have a heart like his. He says, I'm going to give you somebody that's pursuing my heart after mine own heart. Someone who's pursuing my heart. He said, that's what your pastor is. And he says, another one of his markings or her markings is going to be a person that will feed you not only with knowledge, but also understanding. Because the scripture says in Proverbs 4, with all thy getting, you can get all the pastors, all the teachers you want to, but you're going to have to get someone who God has anointed for your ears that would bring you an understanding. Earmarks of who is ordained for your life, who your pastor is. He says, I will give you pastors after mine own heart who would feed you with knowledge and conjunction. Can't have just one. A lot of pastors can release knowledge, but the people say, well, I didn't understand nothing they was teaching. You just watch an audience and you can tell that. I didn't understand the word. Just earmarks. This is how you begin to, you see, your discernment comes through the scripture. You have your senses exercised to discern both good and evil through the word of God. And he says they're going to feed you with knowledge and understanding. He says, let me lead you. Let me guide. You can't pick your church home. I don't know who the Holy Spirit is talking to in here, but you cannot. You're not intelligent enough to pick your church. Paul said, follow him. He says, I can't even lead myself. We're in trouble if we lead ourselves as leaders. And when we tell people, wait, they become offended. We tell them, wait, they become offended. They don't want to wait. Right now. Let the man or the woman renew their strength. Let them mount up on wings as eagles. So that you can have your divine impartation or your divine answer from the Lord. Watch this. I say it again. I enjoy this for my life. It's clean. It's wholesome and it's healthy. I am not intelligent enough to choose. If I was, then he wouldn't have told me to acknowledge him in all of my ways. So that I can direct your path. Don't shop for goods and services, whoever you are that needs a church home. Huh? If you're a son, then be led. If you're a daughter, then be led by God. If the place doesn't look like you want it to look, then whoop-dee-doo. If the leadership is not dressed the way you want them to be dressed, if the building is not as big as you want it to be, if they don't have air conditioning, whoop-dee-doo. Bible says that there was no room for my master in the inn. They found him in a what? Yes. Because there was no... See, we despise the day of small beginnings for others. When it's us, we're gung-ho. We're great. Woman of God and men of God, we're just so great. But let it be the pastor down the street or the evangelist around the corner who only ministers to four people on the street corner. Not big enough. She's not great enough. He's not great enough. So we despise the day of small beginnings. And we miss the time of our... divine order. Start with the Father. Start with God. Find out from God his will, purpose, and plan for your life. And if you haven't heard, stay there.
Stay down there on your knees. Keep that same posture. Pursue, pursue, pursue. The proof of your desire is in your pursuit.
Amen.
If you really want the answer, you're going to continue to pursue the answer. You're going to begin to ask and ask and ask and seek and knock. And he says, if you do those things, you're going to receive those, the answer that you so desire. But stay there. You got some good news to bring back wherever you're going. Yeah. Yeah. I believe that people ought to enjoy God assigning them. When I look out into ministers' lives, I desire a reassignment. I desire a Joshua position, a lesser, because of the need of God's people, the need of the shepherds. I desire to be a staff for them to lean on, because I know what it feels like not to have. And we're still trying to get the blessing or retain the deliverance without divine obedience or divine order. We're still caught up in the spirit of pride. God told me about the pastor. He said, well, since you can do better, then go do. And when it was my turn, I couldn't do better. I couldn't. Every place that you believe you can do better than whoever's leading you, just ask God not to try you. I just believe I can do better. Don't try me. Please don't let him try you. Please don't let him try you. Please don't let him try you. Don't let him place you into that place or that position. Because you're going to become embarrassed. You're going to be embarrassed. And then you're going to go around trying to explain to everybody why. You're going to have all the scriptures to fit your situation. And they'll be real scriptures then. Because now you got an understanding now. Yeah, now you understand. That it was because of my irresponsibility that my church suffered. The assembly that I was connected to. Oh, yes, I'm a part of the worldwide body of Christ. But I've been assigned to a specific move, a specific task. For different ministries have different tasks or different assignments. And so I have to be placed by God. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm almost through. I'm real mild and today and I'm enjoying it. And I pray that you're receiving from the Lord. I would love to have a ministry, Sister Coffee, or a pastorate that doesn't need a structure. She had to laugh. So that means I've got to change callings, huh? I've got to, but I can't because I'm assigned. We have to. Yes, yes. If you want to be deep, just be assigned. Stop choosing and allow God. That's what deep is. I've got an assignment. You've got an assignment. You've been assigned. Wherever your assignment is, you have to begin to allow God to perfect you concerning that assignment. Chapter 12. Jesus. When we begin to surrender and submit ourselves in the area that God has assigned us to, we'll find all of our breakthroughs and our blessings will begin to come forth. Chapter 12, verse 15. He says, this is concerning the members of the body. He says, if the foot shall say, because I am not the hand, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not of the body, is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole, that, because everybody just got to be a prophet, see? Yeah, everybody got to be a minister. Everybody just got to be a minister. So it has on the ministers, they have a desire not to be anymore because they want to get with somebody and try to help them. If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now, read that for me, somebody. Anybody? Whoa. We're getting ready to leave. We're going to quit in a minute, a few minutes. Read it.
But now has God set the
limit. Oh, no, I chose. You know, I didn't want to go to that church. You know, so I just, you know, decided that I was going to leave because they didn't have a children's ministry. Read. You mean to tell me he's not trying to please me with what ministry I'm a part of? Just simple scriptures. We didn't do a whole lot of, you know, simple scriptures. Things we just overlook. Now had God set. You know, that gives a connotation of one setting joints to each other. To set something even that's broken. To put in place. I wonder who taught us that we were to pick the ministry in. Because, listen, I'm going to tell you what blesses. I know a man, he tells people, he says, you find a preacher who's messed up. And he says, bring him to him. He's not going to rebuke the man. Or the woman. He said, if we can hug people who don't know Jesus at all, then how can we leave the preacher who's been running for Jesus for 14 years and backslid? How can we turn our backs on him or her? And so the preacher says, if you find them, bring them to him. I watch people all day, people who have, it's a lack of love. I watch people all day be just as loving with people who are not in, and in the body. Ooh, goodness gracious. In the house of God. The world calls them haters. That's their term. They embrace people. You should see the love released and expressed, Brother Glenn, to perfect strangers. Who don't know Jesus, and I mean they hug them and they love them and praise the Lord and glory to God and God is good and the preacher that backslid or the preacher that doesn't believe in Christmas, they can't fellowship with him. But listen, a person who smokes a crack pipe, they madly in love with him. They madly in love with him. Until they join the church. I said, this is crazy. And so the man said, he says, if anyone's being rejected, he said, just bring him to me. He says, if the preacher messes up, you know, the scripture says, Sister Patty, in is it Galatians 6? It says, if a brother be overtaken in a fault, ye which are, oh my goodness, that means you got to have a prayer life. Ye which are spiritual, restore. And the reason why those men are shunned, the men that backslide, or the men that are contrary. Not the person who doesn't believe, watch this. Not the person. We're not talking about the minister or the congregation or the people that don't believe in the idolatry of Christmas. But we're talking about the men that have backslidden in the church, whether it be ministers or lay people. The reason why they can't be restored is because the people who are supposed to be doing the restoring need restoration themselves. And when they cry out for help, I know ministers that cry out for help and nobody helps. I know ministers that cry for help and no one discerns. They got that rebuke, though. They receive that word of knowledge from the Lord, and now they can go and rebuke that person. But when the person was asking them to go and pray all the time, they never wanted to go and pray. But now that God revealed to them a word of knowledge or a prophetic word, now they want to go and tell them, you know, I seen you drunk, preacher. God showed me in a vision you was drunk. Get yourself together. And he didn't give it to you to tell the person, necessarily. The Bible says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. So you don't have to say what God's giving you. He says, in all of your ways, acknowledge him so he can direct your path. And so the minute we see something, we run and start, don't allow him to direct. We just think, I've got a word. I'm going to tell it. Read that verse again, sister. But go ahead.
But now has God set the members, every one of them, in the body, as it has pleased him.
And so someone's going to have to lead and someone's going to have to follow. My head has the knowledge, it has the sight, it has the communication skills and so forth and so on. And I make up in my mind where I'm going. And my body has to come. It doesn't have a choice. When God said it, it has no choice. You're not in this for choosing. Once he sets you, you surrender. Once he sets you, you surrender. Did y'all get that? Once he sets you, you surrender. He saved you. He delivered you. You told him whatever he needed you to do. You would do it. Now you need to tell his shop foreman, whether it's Pastor Glenn or Sister Coffee, whoever it is. You need to go tell whatever minister he has assigned you to, whatever worship center, whatever church he's assigned you to, assembly he's assigned. Go tell the shop foreman that you told the Lord that whatever he needed you to do, that you were at his disposal. Instead, we sit and we wait for God's divine leading and God's divine guidance, and the work goes undone. And we're trying to get something out of leaders that they can't give unless someone else steps in and cuts some things off out of their lives. Acts chapter 6, almost finished. You know, it bothers me to see. Watch this. I have a pastor, and we're far away from each other, but I still long for instruction. I just want him to call me and tell me to do something. That's a door for the next level. He says in 1 and 19 of Isaiah, you can write that down. He says, if you're willing and obedient, you'll eat the good of that. But what are you going to obey if you won't let nobody tell you to do anything? He says, you're missing all your goods because you won't obey. He says, and I have strategically placed people in your lives for the sole purpose of them being doors or ground in which I have allowed them to be in your life so you can sow into to reap your harvest or receive your desired result. Look in Acts chapter 6. Verse 1, it says, and in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because their widows were neglected in the daily ministration. Notice the murmuring and the complaining didn't come from because nobody was in the assembly. It came because there were too many in the assembly. See, you can be doing good and still have complaints. Then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, it is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Oh, you just let the preacher pull that today. It's embarrassing. You literally have to be ready to fight in your office. The lay people, the people that come into the body of Christ, totally oblivious and ignorant of the way of God. Totally. That was murmuring. Because there were widows being neglected. And the senior leader says, I hear you. But I'm still not leaving my post. This is military. I'm a soldier in the army of the Lord. And this is military. And if I leave my post, then I stand to be annihilated by the enemy or court-martialed by my superior officer. Wherefore, brethren, since you're doing the complaining, fix it. Wherefore, brethren, look ye, or you look out there for among you, for seven men of honest report. He says these men are going to have some qualifications. Well, I know we don't have order no more. You can smoke and still be a deacon.
Uh-oh.
Well, drink, be an elder. I know we're under grace. But even that word says, shall we continue that grace may abound? God does what? Forbid. So, step down. Take it easy. Allow yourself to be governed by the word of God and by your leadership. Listen to this. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, seven men of honest report. Not only are they going to be men or women that have that are reported of as being honest, but they also will be giving honest reports concerning their business affairs. Because folks can pick up money and lie about how much they picked up. He says the next criteria for these men that are going to be over the making sure that widows are being ministered to. He says, I need these people to be filled. He said, I'm talking about the cook in the kitchen too. He says, I need them to be filled with the Holy Ghost. And guess what we end up with? All the Holy Ghost filled people prophets. They say. So we stuck with folk who ain't filled with the Holy Ghost in the kitchen. Because the Holy Ghost filled folk think that they're not supposed to be in the kitchen. Oh, man. He said the Holy Ghost filled people were the people that were going to be ministers. The word deacon, diakonos, or minister, or servant, had to be full of the Holy Ghost. Watch this. And wisdom. Sister Patty, you know what that means? To be full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, it means that you can be full of the Holy Ghost and don't have wisdom. Amen? It means you can be filled with the Spirit on the spot and know not the way of the Lord, nor be walking in His way. And so they have to be filled with the Holy Ghost and wisdom. Not just, watch this, not just have wisdom, be full of wisdom. Yes. Because it's the only way you can. Wisdom is a doing. Wisdom is truly the correct application of the Word of God. Wisdom is the doing of the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 7, he says, whoever is doing the Word of God, I liken unto a. If you're not doing it, you're not wise. You cannot be doing anything evil nor good, and it's not wise. Whom we may appoint over this business. So there's a qualification, a criteria. And if we begin to check our churches, check our assemblies, you will find that there's no filled with the Holy Ghost. They don't know the word. And they don't give honest report. Number four, verse four. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. You let us try that today. How can we have and any ministry that is effective, and I got witnesses in this house, they have those things in place. I'll prove it. It's what helps to bring effectiveness. I got to show you a little nugget. Watch this. I'm going to read quickly. And the saying pleased the whole multitude. structure, huh?
Yes, sir.
We need structure.
That's right.
We need structure. You know, you say, well, I wonder why nobody won't go come to our worship center, you know, in Kansas. I wonder why nobody won't do this. I wonder why. It's not only that they don't have these people in place, but these people don't have some things in place. They're out of order themselves. They're in a place, and they don't have order within themselves to be placed there. It's a certain combination that God uses to unlock certain doors, certain keys to the kingdom. We want the kingdom to flow, and we want the ministry to grow, and we want everything to be everything, but we don't know the keys that unlock the doors. Listen to it. And the same pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. That means to release them. Because remember, the scripture says to lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. It doesn't mean his sins are going to get on you. It means that if I release you, my daughter, and she's in sin, and I'm her leader, and I know she's in sin, but I place her in a position, I put her in the ministry while she's in sin, I become partaker of her sin by saying I condone it. I'm in agreement with what she's doing and how she's living. And so we looked at they look at us as though we're both in this together. I become a partaker of her evil deeds or of her sin, because I'm her sender. I'm the one that's confirming her, and I'm saying she's okay. Yes, while she's in her mess. That's what Paul told Timothy: lay hands suddenly on no man, neither be partaker of another man's sins. It has nothing to do with demons jumping on you. When the demon jump on you, he jump on you through the person with that person fits. Read the text with the seven sons or the sons of Sceva. Read it real good next time you read it. The demons didn't leave that man's body and jump on those sons and whip the sons. The demon kept the man's body and used the man's body and fist and whooped those men. Yes, sir. We don't, you know, no. I'm almost done. Stay with me. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied. Why? Because everybody stayed at their post of duty. Quickly, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3. You got to see it. See, a lot of times we don't know what causes growth or brings fullness. If you don't do a plant, if you don't treat a plant right, there will be no growth and no fullness. And so likewise, if you don't use certain things or bring certain things into the assembly and appropriate certain things into an assembly, there will be no growth. Because there are certain things that are being neglected. The physical thing was being neglected, and so they chose men to meet that and not the leadership themselves. For the leadership should have been seeking the face of God. Well, I got you going. 1 Thessalonians 3. You got to see it. I didn't think we would be able to go there, but you got to see it. Because we're talking about deliverance through God's divine order. Let God set you. Amen?
Amen.
Let him set you. Verse 1, Sister Carr.
Wherefore, when we could no longer forbear, we thought it good to be...
Wait. 2 Thessalonians 3. Verse 1, quickly. 2 Thessalonians 3.
Amen.
Watch this.
For our exhortation...
Mm-mm. Chapter 3, I'm sorry.
Chapter 3.
please?
Yes, ma'am.
Verse?
Second Thessalonians chapter 3.
Second. Okay, chapter 3.
Yes, read.
Verse 1.
Yes, ma'am.
Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. And that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men.
Oh, my.
For all men have not faith.
Oh, my. That word unreasonable there means that we may be delivered from men that are out of place. Read.
But the Lord is faithful, who shall establish you and keep you from evil.
Mm-hmm.
And we have confidence in the Lord, touching you, that ye both do and will do the things which we command.
God got to touch you in order for you to obey. He says, my confidence has to be in the fact that God going to touch you so you obey. Because you're not going to obey if you don't touch you. That's why you can't obey, because David says, I had to humble my soul with fasting. I had to get to a place where God can touch me.
Amen.
I had to spend time in prayer, allow him to touch me so that I can do what I needed to do in the kingdom of God. I need the touch of God to surrender to God. Read.
And the Lord direct your heart into the love of God.
Yes.
And into the patient waiting for Christ.
Sixth verse.
Now, we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us.
Stop. You know what that word there, disorderly, means? When it says to withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly, we would think that we're supposed to withdraw ourselves, you know, from people that are called brothers in the church and that are in sin, and we are. But he's not dealing with that right now. Yes, idleness. Thank you. Good word. He says, you withdraw yourself from every person who is not manding their post of duty. He says, so everyone in an assembly has an assignment. It doesn't matter if it's 1,500 of them out of 3,500 that's supposed to meet for intercessory prayer. Every person has a post of duty. He says, I don't care if it's just five and you only have 20. Every person has a post. It might be a 15-minute post, but it needs to be manned. He says, and I need you to withdraw yourself from everyone who is not at their post of duty. I know we like to pick on the, you know, the brother that's in fornication. But isn't that an injustice to the work of God? To not be assisting? Is it an injustice to be a part of an assembly and you can't be counted on? You can't be a part of the structure? There are no deacons. No intercessory prayer. For oneself first. No, let me just say this, and then you can put all those words in there yourself. No structure. Sister Crawford, we got assemblies with no structure. So where the assembly? What are they going to sit on? Why would they come? What are they going to sit on? What are the blocks going to sit on? What pillars? I need some pillars of the church before I can build. Where are the pillars? If you're going to build a structure, if you're going to build a church, so God says, I got pillars. The pillars won't even be still. He said they're generals in the kingdom, and they won't submit to the prophet of that particular ministry, the pastor, the shepherd of that ministry. He says, and they're waiting for the ministry to grow. He says, but I can only put on top of them if they be still. They don't have running in their spirit. If they're unsettled, if they don't know God put them there. You try to build a house without the pillars. So all the ministries you know, and even if it's your own, wherever you are, I'm saying, you know, whatever ministry you're part of, that growth that you need to experience. Just go back over Acts chapter 6, those 1 through 7 or 8, and then you stay there for a minute and meditate on it, and then look inside of the assembly that you're with and determine. See, because if you're not a pillar, you're one of the blocks. And if you keep doing this, and he keeps trying to set some other block on top of you, but you keep moving in here. And in here, you're unsure. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. I'm waiting on God to give me my ministry. He's going to give it to you in the house. He's going to give it to you right where you are. Where he's set you, is what I'm saying. Know that he set you there. Stay with him and pray. You know, my wife and I, yes, we have a homeless shelter. And yes, we do worship as a local assembly. And yes, there are other ministries under our care that we are overseeing, that we're bishops over. Ministries that are older than we seem to be. Churches that have been in existence for 20-something years. Long time. Yes, there are those that we help, and we share these types of teachings, and they call us back with reports of growth. They call us back with reports of blessings and prosperity. They call us back. Yeah, but well, because you can't do it with one man. And you're going to have to set that structure in through prayer. You're going to have to set the structure in. We all can't just keep walking around wondering and trying to figure out and then be saying, I wonder when, and blaming it on me or Brother Glenn. I'm sorry. Can't blame it on your senior leader. Are you where God ordained for you to be? And have you assumed your role of responsibility to where he has placed you so that these things that you are hoping for could happen and would happen? Oh my. So that we can see the blessing of God in our own lives. So that we can pass the test that God have ordained for us to pass. Sometimes I ride out here and I'm saying, you know, help me, Lord, when I'm riding out here. You know, because I've got to keep asking. I know we're busy and I know we have, and you've given us assignments, but Do we have to be structureless here, right here in this building? Do we have to be structureless? Yeah. Do we have to be structureless? Why do we keep trying to do, Brother Glenn? Why do we keep trying to, people keep wanting us to do things without what we need to do it with? They keep, you know, it's like, wow, like, you know, you wonder if they read the Bible. You know, the scriptures just showed us that you're going to have certain things in place and certain people, certain requirements laid upon ministers are to be kept by those ministers. And if we don't, if we're caught between two worlds, two different posts of duty, then we stifle the growth. Is that truth? But yet we want these wonderful ministries and we want these great things as leaders and as the lay people, and we're always wondering. You ever seen people, I wonder why the ministry is not taking off, and you know, and because you won't be still. He would sit someone on your shoulders, but he can't, because you don't know if you're staying yourself. If you sit somebody on your shoulder and you move, they fall down, or they move with you. People do that all the time. Deliverance through divine order. Our ministries can be delivered. Our churches, the things that God has given us to do. We can experience deliverance and breakthroughs if we ourselves would find out the purpose and plan of God for our personal lives and allow God to place us into the place that he has ordained for us, the work that he has called us to do, the assembly, and then connect with that ministry. Somebody got to be a deacon in here. Somebody got to be. Somebody's got to be. So that our pastor can pray. So that we can experience what we're supposed to experience. We can't just keep shoveling the structure out the door talking about God's moving, but the structure's being pushed out the door. We don't need structure. We don't need structure. We don't need structure. We don't need deacons, and we don't need this, and we don't need that. And so if all of those things are missing, snatch your bones out of your body. Snatch them out. I'm closing. And each one of us, God has given a responsibility. Yes, sir. Has given us a responsibility to a local assembly. Each one of us. We're to find that assembly and respond appropriately and properly. And learn how to be temperate in that area, in that thing. Not overextend ourselves or exercise our things that are too high for us or move in things that are too low, but learn how to walk in perfection where He placed us so that we can experience the breakthrough and the blessing. I know it's a hard thing to share, but I'm glad He gave it to me to do, because it's hard for me to do what I do without structure. I can't be everybody. He can't be everybody. And whatever other minister is in here, they can't be everybody and expect. We can't please everybody either. He's ordained for us to please a certain select group of people. Does that make sense what I just said? We're assigned to a certain group of people. And those people assigned to others. As I get ready to close, I hope that God used me to get the wildness out of us. Because we're walking around, Sister Patty, doing what God calls us to do, and nobody wants to help us. And they say that they're a part of the body of Christ. Get real. My sister in Louisiana would say, I can't tell. How are you going to be a part of something but disconnected from it? How are you going to be a part of something and if I'm your pastor, I can't tell you, watch this, I can't command you. I got to close. Bow your heads and we'll pray. Father, I pray that you've extracted the wildness out of the body of Christ. I pray that you've extracted the running in the feet from the body of Christ. I pray, God, that you have delivered us from being unreasonable. I pray that you have delivered us from being disorderly. And I pray, God, that you would place us, that you would send Joshua's to leaders. I pray that you would send Timothy's to Paul's. I pray that you would send Titus's to Paul's. Sons in the gospel. I pray that you would send daughters to women and men of God in the gospel. I pray, God, that you would cause us to stop being so rebellious, that you would deliver us from a rebellious spirit, and that we would submit to all of your truth and not part of it. I pray, God, that you would move across the body of Christ like never before, because even you said, God, how beautiful it is for brethren to dwell together. To be in unity. You even said that, Father. And we thank you for that word. We thank you for the word. We pray, God, that there would be the spirit of rebellion has been driven out. And that we have chosen to be submissive to your word. And then to those that you have assigned over our lives. In Jesus' name we ask and pray. Amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.